And we're holding on Vov Omer Bey's 11 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, Es sheyesh b'yediyah b'tchila v'chola. The Mishnah had described that as far as Yediyah Satoma, which is going to be the subject of the whole rest of this perek and the next one, so approximately the next 13 block or so. So the Mishnah had said that you have the case where a person knew that he was Tomei, and knew that these are Kodshim, for example, or this is the Beis Mikdash, then he forgot one or the other of those details, and entered the Beis Mikdash or ate Kodshim, and then later on he remembered that he had done that. So we said that that's when he's Chayav a Korban Ola B'Yored for doing that, which is a chashas of adjustable value, as we talked about, that you have, if he's rich, he brings in a female sheep or goat. If he can't afford that, he brings two birds, one is a chatas, one is an ola, and if he can't afford even that, then he brings a Korban Mincha. Then we said, then the Mishnah described the various cases where he didn't know at the beginning but knew at the end, or vice versa, or he didn't know at all. So let's talk about this matter of Tumas Mikdash for Kodship. So first of all, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Minayin she'en ha'kosim medaber ela b'tumas mikdash for Kodship. How do we know that the Pasuk is talking about Tumas Mikdash for Kodship? All the Pasuk says is, it describes in Parshas Vayikra, that a person touches a Dover Tomei, such as a Sheretz or a Nivela or what have you, or there's a Tumah that comes out of a person, and doesn't say anything over there about the Beis Mikdash or Kodship. So how do we know? Maybe it means that a person was Tomei and he forgot, and then he's Chayav a Korban for that alone. So the answer is no. So you can figure it like this. The dinhu, you can show that to be sure, Meforshim point out, where do we ever find an issu in the Torah to become Tomei, where such that we should say should be Chayav a Korban for it. So one thing is, conceivably it could be talking about a Koyen, conceivably it could be talking about a Yid during the Regolim, where the Gemara mentions in various places Chayav Adam, Latar, Atzmi, Beregol, the Rashba points these things out. So maybe the Chiyuv would be Davka at those times of year, maybe Davka for a Koyen. The dinhu, so you would figure logically as follows. The Torah is warning you about Tomei, about that Tumah, and the Pasuk is saying that there's a punishment for Tumah. Namely, where there's a case where a person is Chayav Koris. The Chiyuv Korban ala Tumah, and in addition there's also a Korban, as we're talking here in Parshas Vayikra. Now, when Hashem warns not to become Tomei, and when Hashem punishes for it, then specifically it's when then the person who's Tomei enters the Beis Mikdash or eats Kodshim when he's Tomei, because you have the Pasuk, there's a warning, lo yitamu es mikdashai, or lo yitamu es shem kodshi, or other similar psukim to that. Rashi brings as mikdashai, it says on the side, refers to not coming into the machne shechina when a person is tamei, whatever. So therefore, so that's the azhara to not go into the Beis Mikdash when one is tamei. In Kodshim, you have the pasuk in lo yochel ada sheyitar, so there's a warning not to eat Kodshim when one is tamei. And then you have the punishment that it says, where it says a person goes into the Beis Mikdash Tomei, then he gets Kodesh, and when it talks about when a person eats from Kodshim, and when he's Tomei, it says he gets Kodesh, so you have the warning for both of those, and you have the punishment for both of those, of course, four different places in the Torah. Mak shehizur, and he was saying in Parshas Vayikra that you have a korban as well. So mak shehizur va'onash ala tuma. So just like when the Torah is warning and punishing for a person becoming tomei, like hizur va'onash ela tumas mikdash shekodshav, that's applying only to tumas mikdash shekodshav, and other than that, a person is not going to be chayiv kores and is not warned not to do that. Akish shechiyiv korban ala tuma. So therefore, logically, we can say that it's talking about the same thing when we're talking about a korban for a person becoming tomei and then forgetting, etc. Loichiyiv ela tumas mikdash shekodshav. Then logically, it would also be for Tumas Mikdash Kodshim. So far, the Braisa is saying that you really don't need any kind of posuk to tell you, because you can derive it logically. But the Gemara says the Ema Truma, but maybe say that the Korban of the Yerded is where a person ate Truma when he was Tomei. Where we do have, there's a warning not to eat Kodshim when one is Tomei, As it actually brings the pasuk Bakadoshim lo yoichal, which is referring to truma. That section of Parshas Emor is talking about truma. And you have an oinish, because the pasuk continues a meisuvoy ki yichaluluhu, that if they do, that if a person is going to be chay misa b'dei shemayim for eating truma when he's tomei. Okay, Tosfos says that maybe it means that the Gemara is asking not so much that it shouldn't include kodshim or the Beis Mikdash, but maybe it should also include truma. For that matter, Tosfos points out, it could have also mentioned a person who's Tomei, who does the Avodah. We also have an Onash V'his here. The reason why the Gemara is not doing that is because of the very fact that a person who's Tomei is Chayv Misiv Deshamayim, we learn from Truma in Sanhedrin, we have not long ago. So therefore, so it mentions Truma, which is where we would learn it all from. Tosfos also adds that the Gemara couldn't have asked that it means that Koyanim are not allowed to become Tomei, because we find they can't become Tomei Mess, and they're Chayiv Malkus for it. We never find that they're also to become Tomei by a Sheretz or Neveva. And similarly, also what we said before about, for example, being Chayiv Adam Latar Atzma Beregel, that's true, but there's no Onash and there's no His here on that anywhere. The Torah just says, well, there is a His here over Nivlosim Loisi Go, but there's no Onish for it. But the question is, at any rate, that it should include Truma as well, and maybe, and like Tosfos says, also a Tomei during the Avodah in the Beis Mikdash. So the Gemara says no, because Loy Ashkechan Misa Dechiv Alor Korban. Loy Ashkechan Avoin Misa Dechiv Alor Korban. Because we never find an Aveda involving Misa where the Torah is requiring a Korban for it. Whenever you have a Korban, is it something where a person would be Chayav for it Koris, B'mezid. So then B'shergit, we're saying he brings a Korban. There's no case where a person is Chayav Misa B'deshamayim, and then instead he brings a Korban. Well, the Gemara says, why? Emahani mili korban kavua. Maybe you could say that's true. A regular korban chatas, which is a fixed thing, that where he always brings a female sheep or a female goat, then you would say that applies only in the case of Kodesh. Aval olav yored nasi, but maybe he should have to still bring a korban olav yored if he ate truma when he was tamei. Needed to have the Ashmias Kurva Bitis Fasayim. After all, you have the other cases where a person brings the Kurban Olav Yored, it's Shmias Kurl, where he hears someone telling him, come say Edus for me, because you know Edus, and he swears that he doesn't know, as we're going to learn later on the fourth parak of Ar Masechta, the details of that din, and Bitis Fasayim, the dinim of a false Shavua, which we touched on earlier, and we touched on a couple of blocks ago, and we're going to have the details of it are going to be in the third parak of Ar Masechta. So those kinds of things, there's no kores in those, there's no misav deshamayim for that matter either, and yet there's a korban for them, so we see that the korban olav yored is different, so maybe there should be a korban olav yored also for a person eating, for a korban eating truma when he's tomei. And in fact, Tosfos points out, you even have a case where there's no kodesh and no misas based in, and it's even, could even be bemazed, and a person brings a korban, namely, and a fixed korban at that, namely the case of shivcha asham, shivcha harufa. But that's an osham, not a chatas, so therefore the Gemara is not bothering with that. A korban olav yored is fundamentally a chatas. Anyway, the Gemara answers no, because omakra bo. The pasuk says that a person touches the tumah and then forgets about it, and it says that he touches it, asher yitma, that he becomes tumah in it. So the ba lamauti, it's a ba lamauti truma. So the word ba comes to exclude truma. How do you know it's excluding truma? Ema ba lamauti mikdash. Maybe on the contrary, maybe it's coming to exclude going into the Beis Mikdash when one is tumah. And if the pasuk would be saying that for that, a korban olav yored is enough, he has to bring a fixed chatas. So where do we see? So if all we have in the pasuk is a miut from the word ba, how do we know to exclude with it truma and say then that a person who eats truma, the truma, is not chayiv a korban at all? Maybe it means that for that he would be chayiv a korban olav yored. For going into the Beis Mikdash when he's tamei is a much more severe thing, and for that he needs some other kind of korban, an actual korban chatas or something. So the Gemara answers. With a preface: Kori Rava Alei De Rebbe. Rava applied to Rebbe an expression: Dola Mayim Miboras Amukim. Someone who's able to draw water out of deep wells, meaning that Rebbe, as the Gemara is going to go on to bring a brisa, is able to find a very clear way in the pasuk to say that no, that Tumas Mikdash Kodesh is the case where the person is chayav this korban olav yored and not truma. He's going to use a Xeta Shava for it. So we'll learn the Xeta Shava, and then Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about a couple of Rishonim, explain so what's so great about it. If Rebbe learned the Xeta Shava from his Rebbeim, then why does he, then what's so special about him using it any more than all the other Xeta Shavas in the Torah? So, but first let's learn what Rebbe says. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Ekra Anichaya. Now in that connection, the Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk describes, O Nefesh Ashtiga Bechol Dover Tomei, a person touches anything Tomei, Oy Benivla Chaya Tmeya, whether it's the Nivela of a Tomei Chaya, such as a lion, Oy Benivla Behema Tmeya, or the carcass of a Behema Tmeya, let's say a horse, or a dead sheretz, any of the shmoneh shrotzim, and then he forgets, and then v'hu tamei v'oshim. So Rebbe points out, Rebbe Omer, ekrani chaya, the pasuk could have only said chaya, behema lama nemra. Why does it also have to say nivlas behema tmeya? Because we have a concept, behema b'chalav chaya. Many times you have the Torah, it's true that technically chaya and behema are two different types, but nevertheless you do find that behema b'chalav chaya. Rashi brings, because you have, the Pasuk says it earlier in Parsha, the Pasuk says in Parsha Shemini, Zoysa Chaya Shatoichlu, and then it lists the simonim of Behema, called Behema Mafresis Parasa. For that matter, the Gemara points out elsewhere, the flip side is also true, Chaya is Bechlal Behema, because you also have places where the Torah mentions Behema, and we see, and then it starts listing Chayas as well. So we see that they are, to a certain extent, interchangeable. So here, it could have said, Oy Benivas Chaya Tmeya, Behema Laman Nemra, so why does it also say, Benivas Behema Tmeya? So the reason is, for Xeira Shava, Nema Kan Behema Tmeya, Venema Lahalan Behema Tmeya. A different pasuk talks about where a person has touched a nevela of a tumas adam or tumas be, or tumas or behemoth mei or sheketz tamei, and then he eats kodshim and then he eats shlomim or any other kodshim, then he's chayiv kares. So therefore we have a gzeira shava malahalam tumas kodesh, just like over there you're talking about where he ate kodshim when he was tamei afkan tumas kodesh, the same way our posik oy benivlas behemoth mei or chayat tamei etc. V'hu ne'lami menu, and he forgets it, is also talking about where he where is also talking about Davka Tumas Kodesh and not Truma. So what's so impressive about this? Again, so what's so impressive about this Gzeira Shava of Rebbe's, given that a person can't, usually we say that a person can't come up with a Gzeira Shava on his own. Point is the fact that Rebbe went to the trouble. So one point is actually that we knew that the word behema was there for Xeira Shava, explains the Rosh, but Rebbe went to the Tircha to find that it's mufna, to find that it's not necessary in either of those psukim, and therefore Rava was very impressed with that and called them Doyla Maimi Boris Hamukim. It's as if like there was a deep well over here and nobody could get out the water, and now Rebbe was able to get it out. Another way of looking at it is that we knew of the Gzeira Shava, but we didn't know what din is being learnt from the Gzeira Shava of this word behema. So now Rebbe went and found that din, and therefore Rava praised him for that. The Sefer HaKrisos says the other way around. Sefer HaKrisos, the Sefer from Reb Shimshin Mikinon, one of the Balei HaTosfos. It's an important Sefer for Klolei HaGemara. So he says the other way around. Yes, Rebbe knew from his Rebbeim that there's a Gzeira Shava on this, but he didn't know what words to use for the Gzeira Shava, and he went and found it. Well, the Gemara says, fine. Ashkechon Tumas Kodesh, fine. And that shows us that Tumas Kodesh, a person is bringing the korban for, Tumas Mikdash Menola. And how do we know the same thing applies to Tumas Mikdash, as we've been saying all along? And the answer is Omakra, because by Yeledes, the Torah says, B'chol Kodesh lo siga ve'ala Mikdash lo savei. The Pasuk says, she should not touch any Kodesh, which means to eat it, as we're going to say soon. And she should not go into the Beis Mikdash, Itkash Mikdash le Kodesh. So we see that there's a hekesh between Mikdash and Kodesh, and whatever, and what applies to one applies to the other. So now, once we know from Rebbe's Gzeira Shava that the korban olah v'yored applies to the case where the person forgot that he was tamei, applies to eating kodesh, then also based on this hekesh, we can also say that it applies to going into the Beis Hamikdash. All right. Um,
So the question is, Yehochi Trumanami. Well, in that case, then we're back to the question. Then we're back to the question that we should include Truma as well. The Omer Marbuchal Kodesh Leisigal Rabbis is a Truma because we learn in a Braisa, we learn this in Marcus, for example, that when it says Bechol Kodesh Leisiga, first of all, it's true that the word Tiga doesn't necessarily mean not to touch. It is true that if he touches Truma or Kodeshim shall make him Tomei, but that's not really mainly what the Torah is talking about. Primarily, it's talking about not eating it. But it says b'chol kodesh, so it means truma and that means truma as well. So the point is, Rashi points out, as Rashi mentions on the Pesukim at the beginning of Parshas Tazria, that in general we learn from this that a tzvul yoim is also tea truma, and in the case of a yeledis, she's considered a tzvul yoim for the entire 33 or 66 days after she tovels the first time after the birth until she brings her korban. And we learn from that during all that time she's also tea truma as well. Well, then, in that case, then we should say, if you're going to tell me that there's a hekesh over here between b'chol kodesh loisiga v'ela mikdash loisavay, so then, in that case, it should include truma as well. So the answer is v'miyut rachmana b'ah. Sure, but we have the miyut that we said before from the word b'ah over where the pasuk says asher yitma b'ah, and we said the word b'ah in it was a miyut, meaning that we remayit something. Well, what are we remayit? We're explaining that it means that we're excluding truma. Well, how do we know? Ema b'ah l'mo'otim mikdash. How do we know that the word b'ah doesn't come to exclude where he went into this mikdash when he's tamei? And the answer is, Mistabra Mikdash Lemimatin and Shekin Bakaris. It's more logical to say, of the three things that we're dealing with over here, okay, so Kodshim we don't need, so we have like Kodshim we don't need a Ribui because we have directly for that, we have Revi's Zera Shava. Then we have Mikdash and we have Truma. Of those two, which one are we going to be Mimayat? It's more logical to be Mimayat, Truma, because after all, going into the Bes Mikdash, when a person goes in there bemazed, then he's Chayiv Kores. So therefore, it's much more logical to say that is the kind of thing the Torah is saying, bemazed Kores, so for sure, at least we'll let you get away with a Korban. As opposed to by Truma, you don't, it's not as serious. By Truma, we said it's Misvede Shemayim, so therefore, there's less reason for us to think that there should be a Korban for that, and more reason to think that the miut from the word ba would exclude that. Well, the Gemara says why? Because it's Kodesh, the same thing as Kodesh, the same way as Kodesh, the Torah tells us. There's Kodesh for it, the same way the Torah tells us. There's Kodesh for going into the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, it's more logical to say that the Hekesh tells us that a person goes into the Beis Mikdash, b'mezid is chayiv kares, and therefore b'shoyge he's bringing korban olav yoyim. Well, the Gemara says ad rabat truma lo matin and shekena chilak kamoisa. Yeah, but you could argue the other way around. You could say that truma, after all, is eating, just like eating the korbanos is eating. Maybe that's the similarity. Maybe the Torah is telling you that any time a person eats something which he wasn't supposed to because he's tamei, then he has to bring a korban olav yoyim. So we would say the mikdash is something else because it's true. It says in other words, you would say. You would have said because you have Vela Mikdash Leisavoy, that it means that it includes the Bis Mikdash as well. But because now you have the miut from the word ba, then it would mean that maybe the person is not bringing the korban over the yoreh. So whether that means that he wouldn't be bringing a korban at all? Would it mean that he'd have to bring a more stringent korban? The Ritva discusses that point. But the point is still, how do we know that it's Davka coming into the Bis Mikdash when he's Tomei that would be Mechayiv him in this Korban or the Yerded, and eating Truma when he's Tomei would not? So Ella Omar Rava, so rather Rava says, here's how we're going to work it out. You have three different psukim in the Torah that say if a person eats Kodshim when they're Tomei, then they're going to be Chayiv Kodesh. You have two psukim back to back in Parshas Vayikra, where it says a person eats meat so you have this. The first one is in Parshas Emor, called Isha Sheyikra, we call Zarachem, Allah Kodesh Megomer, any person from your descendants. Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aaron that anybody from your descendants, any of the Kohenim who comes close to the Kodeshim, who touches the Kodeshim when he's Tomei, is going to be Chayav Kodesh. And again, the word Yikra over there means that he actually comes to eat it. It actually brings from the Gemara in Zvachim. The reason why I use the word Yikrav is because it means to roi lakrova. We're talking about something where it was already where it's already roi to be brought on the Mizbeach. So, for example, with a korban mincha, for example, it would have to be that it was already placed in a free shavis. So now you have that one, and the pasuk says that if he does, then he's chayiv koris. Then you have twice in parshas back to back in parshas tzav where it also says van nefesh asher tochel bosom zevach hashlomim, then he's tomei, then he gets koris, and the next pasuk continues van nefesh v'nefesh kisiga b'chol tomei, and also it says he's koris. So there's three places where the Torah says that a person is chayiv koris for eating kodshim when he's tomei. So why do we need three of them? And so Rashi explains over here that like this. Achas the klal. So one of them is going to tell us that there's a klal, the achas the prat, and the second one tells us that there's a prat. The first one says in general kodshim. So it would include all kodshim, and keep in mind that kodshim includes both kodshim izbeach and kodshim bedek abayis. There's kodshim that have to be brought on the mizbeach, and then you have kodshim bedek abayis, things that were donated to the treasury of the Bais Mikdash. So the first pasuk, the one from Parshas Emor, would tell us a klal that in general a person eats any kind of kodshim, then he'd be chayiv koris. But achas the prat, the second one tells us a prat that it means specific, that it says specifically shlomim. Now, shlomim are part of kodshim. So we don't do this as a regular klal of prat. Rather, Rashi explains, we do this as an example of dover shahoye b'chlal, v'yotzim in a klal alamed, lo lalamed al-atzma yotzah, lalamed al-klal chulo yotzah. Namely, in other words, we're saying that since you had a klal of kodshim, and now it mentions a prat of shlomim, then it means that it's going to be anything that is similar to shlomim, namely kodshim is there. So it would exclude kodshim bedek abayis. Rashi goes on to explain the reason we don't do a klal of prat is because you don't do a klal of prat unless they're back to back in the pasuk, if they're one right after the other. If they're separated, in this case, you have one of them is in Parshas Emor and the other one is in Parshas Shmini, then it's not a klal of prat. Furthermore, Rashi goes on to explain that the klal of prat or klal, we say iyat donah hakena prat. So what's the difference between that and this? Here also we seem to be saying that we're taking the shlomim and we're making a whole category of it to include all the other kodshim. So Rashi explains, because when you have klal of prat or klal, then it would mean you're including other things that are not written in the pasuk at all. So you'd have, let's say, for example, a classic example of a klal of prat or klal, for example, is the Torah tells us that you can, when you bring ma'aser sheni, money to your shalayim, you can spend it on whatever kind of, on food, and the pasuk lists four kinds of food, batzon, baboko, vayayin, and vashefer. And from that we learn that you can buy anything which grows directly or indirectly from the ground and produces peiros, so it would include, for example, various other kinds. You could buy bread with it, you could buy other kinds of things. Those are not written in the pasuk at all, and we're including them with a klal of prat or klal. So for example, it excludes things like water, it excludes salt, it excludes mushrooms, but basically, and it includes non-food items, but it includes all kinds of foods that are not at all listed in the pasuk over there, as opposed to when we have loyal lamad al atzma yotza, elo lamad al klal kula yotza, then it means that we're not adding things, but we're telling more details within the prat. So Rashi gives an example. We have, for example, an example of lo v'lamed al atzmi yotza is the fact that the Torah tells us don't do malacha on Shabbos, and then it says specifically le'sivaru esh b'chomer shveisechem, and it means that it tells us that just as a person would be chayev individually for making a fire on Shabbos, would be individually chayev achatas for it, the same way individually for each other malacha of Shabbos. But we're not using that to add other malachas on Shabbos. Had we had a klal of prata klal, we would be saying that we would include other malachas that are not listed in the Torah, and that they're in that category. But we don't need that because everybody says lo sasa kol malacha. So in the same way over here, in other words, we're not davishing as a klal of prat or klal, and therefore saying we're going to include other kinds of korbanos that are not listed. Rather, we're using it just to say that it means we're talking only about a certain classification of kodshim, namely kodshim izbeach, such as shlomim, and not kodshim bedikabais. So that's Rashi. Tosfos goes and discusses further, and then talks about, compares this with other relevant Gemaras, and asking that if on the face of it now Tosfos says that actually it does seem from other Gemaras that in fact klal prata meruchokin, like we have over here, is very much like a klal prata klal, unlike what Rashi is saying, and then Tosfos deals with in that case what is the actual difference between them. So far we have a klal and we have a prat, not that we're darshining as a klal of prat, but rather that we're darshining as lo lamed al atzma yotza el lamed al klal kula yotza. The achas, and then you have the third one, the third time that it says kodesh by shlomim l'tumah k'suva b'toda stam, that when the Torah tells us elsewhere about tuma, and it doesn't say what happens when the person is tumah, v'eni yadei mahi, we don't know what happened. We said that the person is, that the Torah is telling us that the person became tumah and he has to bring a korban over the yordid, but it didn't say what happened when he was tumah. Heavy omer tumas kodesh. Now, based on this third pasuk about kodesh, then we understand that it's talking about tumas kodesh. Now, v'im ena inyan the tumas kodesh. Now we don't need that. The nafkan lemid the Rebbe, because for that we have Rebbe's zera shava before from the word behema tineu inyan the tumas mikdash. Then instead we can apply it to tumas mikdash, and there we go. That's how we know that tumas mikdash. is going to make a person chayev in a korban olah v'yored. And Tosfos adds the point, we can't say that it would include truma instead, like we said before, because truma, there's no kares. So therefore, in other words, the pasuk is implying there's something where a person is chayev kares v'mezid, and now when he's v'shogig, then he needs something else. What is that something else? Can only be tumas mikdash, because there's no, can only be tumas mikdash. So that's how we work it out. But the Gemara asks, what do you mean? We need those three psukim for something else. Behind me, boiler, the chidir Rabba Bohu. We need those three psukim for something that Rabba Bohu taught. The Amar Rabba Bohu, Sholosh Kursus B'Shlomim Lama. Why does it say again, Rabba Bohu was asked, why does it say three times Kores by Shlomim? So he explains that we learn from it something different. Achas the klal v'achas the prat. Fine. One of them is the klal that would have included all kodshim, including kodshim bedikavayis. One tells us a prat where again it's the kind of prat where lo lamed al atzma yotza el lamed al klal kula yotza. So it teaches us this whole concept of kodesh applies only to kodshim mizbeach and not kodshim bedikavayis. The third one would be that a person is chayav kodesh even for things that are not normally eaten. So in other words, let's say, for example, Rashi says, the wood that's brought on the mizbeach, or the levoina, or the ketertus, those kinds of things, if a person were to eat them when he's tamei, he'd still be chayav kodesh. Even though these are things that are not normally edible. Tosfos brings, the Gemara in Zvachim brings in that case, where there were warning in the Torah not to do that, where it says, v'habosser, ashi yigav b'chol tomei, those are the word v'habosser, includes those kinds of things, and also Tosfos says maybe when it comes to koris, maybe b'chol, you don't need a lab, just like, for example, a person is chayav koris for not bringing a korban Pesach, or for not having a bris mila, even though there's no Loisa saying the Torah, do not fail to bring a korban Pesach, or do not fail to have a bris mila. It just says there's an esther, bring a korban Pesach, have a bris mila, and then if not, a person is chayav kares, so we see that there doesn't always need to be an azhara for kares. The point is that Rabba Bohu is using the third one, not that like Rava is saying that we can use it for Tumas Kodesh and then reapply it instead to Tumas Mikdash, but rather that we're talking about where the person eats the wood or the levoino or what have you, and is chayav kares for that. So there was actually a machlokas about that in Masecht Zvachim. Rabbi Bahu's drasha is according to the Chachamim, which is the halach. So that's the Gemara continues. Ulurab Shimon, the Amad Dvarim Shain and Echolon, Ein Chayavan Alain Kart. Actually, the halacha here is, so here actually you have a note to Ein Mishpat Ne Mitzvah. The Rambam brings according to Rab Shimon, and the Raivet and the Kesef Mishnah deal with why does the Rambam do that? Why is he not paskin like the Chachamim as we usually do? Anyway. So, Reb Shimon, Dama Dvarim She'en and Achalon Ein Chayavan Alein Kardes Mishum Toma. Well, Reb Shimon disagrees and says that if a person were to eat the wood or Lavoino or what have you, he wouldn't be Chayav Kardes if he ate them Betoma. So then, in that case, according to him, what is the third Kardes coming to include? L'Isuri Chatoris HaPnimius. It comes to include the Chatoris HaPnimius, the ones where the blood of them is brought inside the Heichel and sprinkled in the case of the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, is they're sprinkled in the Kodesh Kedoshim and in the Heichel, in the case of the Purim, in the case of the Par Helam Davar Shal Tzibur, and the Par Koyin Mashiach, which we'll learn about Be'ez Hashem and Masechta Hodias in a few months from now. So those are the blood is brought into the Heichel. But anyway, those are all a special category of Chatos called Chatoris HaPnimius. These are Chatoris where the blood of them is brought inside the heichel, and then those chatoris are not normally eaten. They have to be burnt outside the machne. A regular chatos, they burn the emurim on the mizbeach, and the meat of it is eaten by the kohen. Yes. A chatos apnimius, these five chatoris, two of Yom Kippur, the par and the sor, and then three of other cases, par helam davar shel tzibur, seiri avodah zarah, and then par kohen mashiach. Those are the body of the korban after the emurim are burnt on the mizbeach. The rest of the body of the korban is taken outside Yerushalayim and burnt.
The Kohen don't eat them.
No, the Kohen don't eat them. Yeah.
Normally, well, but these five.
These five, they don't, right. So Reb Shimon would say that the third Kodesh comes to include if a person were to eat one of those Korbanos where he's Tomei. Now, why do we need a special limud according to Reb Shimon for that? Because we would have thought to say, Hoyova Om Reb Shimon, Kosha in a Korav al Mizbech Achitzin, Kishlomim, in Chayovin al Mishum Pigul. Now, you have like this. We know there's the concept of Pigul, which is mentioned in a couple of places in the Torah. One place where it's mentioned is in this week's Parashah, at the beginning of Parashah's Kedoshim. So pigul is where the Kohen has in mind during one of the four main avodas of the korban that he's going to eat it or he's going to burn the parts that go on the mizbeach outside of the time. So he thinks, for example, this is the shlomim. He thinks I'm going to eat some of the meat of the shlomim 2 days from now, which is already past the deadline. So that thought makes the korban pigul. We're going to learn extensively about pigul when we get to Masechet Zvachim. That's the shem. We start at the end of a few days before Rosh Hashanah. We'll be starting Masechet Zvachim. That's the shem, and we're going to talk about this is these details of pigul at great length there. So Reb Shimon says the rule is anything which is not now the Torah mentions pigul in connection with shlomim specifically, and from that we learn that by a riboy that it applies to all korbanos as well. But Reb Shimon says because shlomim are a korban that are eaten, therefore it applies only to because the blood of it is applied, the blood of it like that of most korbanos is applied to the mizbeach achitzin. So Reb Shimon says the rule is kol she'ena korban mizbeach achitzin kishlomim, any korban which is not offered where the blood is not sprinkled on the mizbeach achitzin like a shlomim, where here instead the chatoris apnimius or the blood is sprinkled inside the heichel. So Reb Shimon says, "Ein chayav another mishum pigul." So the rule of pigul would not apply to it, and a person would not be chayav kardes for eating a korban that became pigul like that. So you would think mishum tuma namiloi. Maybe the same thing would apply then as well that a person is not chayav for eating from such korbanos when he's tamei. So therefore, Reb Shimon would say, "Kamash malon." Therefore, the third pasuk of kardes is telling us the mechayav that he is in fact chayav. But that being the case, then, we're using Rabbi Bohu's Jerusha, either according to the Chachamim to teach us that the person eats the wood or the Lavoino or what have you when he's Tomei, then he's Chayev, or according to Reb Shimon, that if he eats from the Chatoris HaPnimius when he's Tomei, then he's Chayev. And the Ritva actually deals with the point over here that there are actually things that a person is, there are actually things here we're talking about that Reb Shimon is saying anything that's not offered on the Mizbeach, And we're saying that the Ritzvah seems to understand, not like I was just explaining that we're talking about that the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, but rather that the Emurim of it are offered on the Mizbeach HaChitzin. Because he asks that you have, for example, the koimetz of a mincha never becomes mutter to eat, and the fact is that a person eats the koimetz when he's tamei, he would be chayiv koris. And the same thing, for example, another example is minchas koyanim, where a koyan brings a mincha, where the entire thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. And then he goes on to say the Gemara in Zvachim also explains that the general rule is that the Isser of Pigul applies only to things that would become mutter to eat. So for example, let's say you have a shlomim, once the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and once the Emurim are offered on the Mizbeach, then you're allowed to eat the rest of the meat. But on the other hand, for example, the koimetz is never allowed to be eaten, and the Gemara explains that a person is not in fact chayev for eating that as Pigul. So that being the case then, so he asks that in that case, then why do we need a special posuk for Chatoris HaPnimius? So the question then is, why is the Gemara saying that we have to learn Chatoris HaPnimius? Because otherwise we would have thought that it's not similar to Shlomim. We should say that we have to include Chatoris HaPnimius, because otherwise those things are not eaten. And he explains because there's a second pasuk that mentions about shlomim that says mizbeach shlomim asher l'Hashem, and the word asher l'Hashem means when it comes to include things that are offered on the mizbeach. So as opposed to these things, the Chatoris HaPnimius are never brought on the Mizbeach in the first place, and then they're not meant to be eaten because they have to be burnt on the Mizbeach, because they have to be burnt outside of your Yerushalayim, so therefore you need a separate limud for those.
Most of the Korbanos were burnt on which Mizbeach?
Most of the Korbanos, whenever you're talking about burning Korbanos, whether you're talking about the whole Korban or Emurim, you're always talking about the Mizbeach HaChitzen, unless the Chatoris HaPnimius, which are burnt outside the Mach. There's no such thing as burning karbonis on the Mizbeach HaZahav. The most you have is the blood of certain karbonis is applied on the Mizbeach HaZahav.
That's the one they use on Yom Kippur.
That's the one that's used on Yom Kippur, and it's also used for the Parim and Siyam and Esrafim. Okay. So anyway, the point is that Rav Bohu is using the drasha from these three psukim to include. He says the third one is including either the Eitzim and Levoina according to the Chachamim, or the Chatoris HaPnimius according to Reb Shimon. And so how is Rava using that to say that now we have the third one is available to teach us about someone who eats Kodshim, and since we're not going to use it for that because we already have a Gzeira Shava from Rebbe earlier on the Amud, then therefore instead we're going to use it for Tumas Mikdash. We can't do that. We're already using that limud for something else. So we're still stuck on the question, how are we getting that a person enters the Beis Hamikdash when he's Tomei, where if he does B'mezid, he's Chayev Kares, that if it's B'shoigig, he would be removing the Korban Olav Yerid. Again, that's the case when he eats Kodshim, that we have Rebbe's Gzeira Shava. But where are we seeing that, on the face of it, we have a Hekish between Kodesh and Mikdash in the case of a Yeladis, but again, the problem was that we had also a mute from the word Bach, which we said we're using the word mute to exclude truma, but how do we know? Maybe it means fakir, the korban olav yored is for eating truma when a person is tamei and didn't know about it, and then for entering the Beis HaMikdash is excluded from the word va. So it might mean maybe he has to bring a stronger korban or something, but at any rate, how do we know that the din that we're saying that he brings a korban olav yored for entering the Beis HaMikdash when he's tamei? So the
Gemara is not only when you're not sure if you did something wrong.
Korban Olav Yored, we're saying there's three cases where a person brings it. Right now we're focusing on Tumas Mikdash for Kodshim, which is the person was Tomei and knew about it. Then we're going to work out later how we know these details, but he forgot and then he remembered again. That's when he brings a Korban Olav Yored. The other two are Shavuos HaEdus, also known as Shmias Koil, and Bitris Fasayim, both of which we're going to deal with in later Parakim of Amasefta, the fourth and the third Perek, respectively. No, it's not a matter of whether he knows or not. It's a matter of, in the case of Tumas Mikdash for Kodshim, you have this point where he has to know, forget, and know again. In the case of Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos Bitri, we'll see later on when we get to them, it doesn't necessarily have to be the same kind of thing. Anyway, it's a korban olav yored because, again, the value of it is adjustable depending on what the person can afford you. Okay. So, Ella Amri Nahav Dori, Mishmei Derava, so rather the Chachamim of Nahav Da, say in the name of Rava, here's how we're going to learn it. Sholosh Tumas Shlomim Lama. Forget about the fact that it says three times Kodesh by Shlomim. Let's focus on the fact that in all three of those psukim that we brought before, it mentions that the person is Tomei, and then he eats the Kodeshim. So why does it say three times Tomei? Achas the Klal, Achas the Prat, So one tells us the klal that would apply. If you only had that, it would mean that it would apply to all kodshim, even kodshim bedik abayis. The achas the prat, and one is the prat that tells us lo lamin al atzma yotza el lamin al klal kulo yotza. So it has to be similar to shlomim in being kodshim is deach and in being korbanus. The achas, and the third one, the tumach, so a Torah stam, where again, the Torah is telling us some place where a person is tome, and something happens, and that he has to bring a korban, and we don't know, the eni adem mahi, and we don't know what happened while he was tome, heavy emes of tumas kodesh, therefore it would mean that he ate kodesh and b'shoigig, and therefore, again, being eni inim tumas kodesh, but we don't really need it for that, the nafgalon midrebi, the nafgalay midrebi, because we have Rebbe's zeta shava from the word behema that we said before, tenei reinim, the tumas mikdash, so therefore we can apply it instead to Tumas Mikdash and say, therefore, that it means it's the kind of thing. Again, it can't mean Truma, as Tosfos has said, because there's no Kores over there, so it has to mean Tumas Mikdash, where, like eating Kodshim, if he were to do it Mamezid, he'd be Chayav Kores, and therefore, now the Torah is telling you that if he does it Meshregig, then he's Chayav Kores, then he's Chayav Kores in Olav Yehudim. All right. The question is, still though, you're telling me that we're learning from the fact that it says three times Tumah, but that doesn't work either. You need that also. As part of Rabbahu's drasha, I need a boil of mikt of koris lichad Rabbahu, since the pasuk has to say that he's chayiv koris because of to teach us Rabbahu's din that he's chayiv koris also for eating the wood when he's tomei or for eating the chataris apnimius according to Reb Shimon. So therefore, so cause of nami tumas, so it has to mention tumas as well. But I sagu like blav hoch. How else could it write? A person eats shlomim is chayiv koris. Then what does it mean? A person you wouldn't know that he's tomei. So if it's going to mention kores by eating shlomim, necessarily each time it has to mention tumah. So what are you telling me now, doi, in the name of Rava, that you don't need the word tumah in those cases and you have it available for drasha? How else would the pasuk phrase it? So no, that doesn't work either. Ela omar Rava, so rather Rava says, ask your tum ose. We have another gzera shava from the word tum ose. Ksiv hocha l'chol tum osay, where the Torah describes where the here by the korban olav yonin. The pasuk says that the pasuk says that he becomes tomei l'chol tum osay with any kind of tuma, with any kind of thing that could make him tomei. Uchtiv hosam tomei yeoid tum osay boy by tumas mikdash in connection with the parah aduma. The Torah tells us that if he doesn't get sprinkled with parah aduma water, he's tomei oid tum osay boy. His tuma is still going to be in him. Malahalam tumas mikdash afkan tumas mikdash. So therefore, so we learn by that zera shava that in both cases we're talking about tumas mikdash. So now that helps us understand. So now when the Torah tells us a person becomes tomei the lo yoda and he doesn't know the oshem and now he's guilty, what did he do during that time when he didn't know he was tomei? He entered the bismikdash. Okay, Tosfos deals with certain details in that. First of all, by truma, it also says truma, but fine. The fact that it says truma by in connection with truma and Parshas Emor is apparently used for some other drosha. So therefore we're not using that. And then Tosfos goes on to deal with based on a Gemara in Makkos that we learned over there that the Shlokish had not learned this Gzeira Shava. So according to him, how would we learn it? And he would have to use the Hekish before, but he says in that Gemara in Makkos that there's no Malkus for eating truma, that for eating truma when he's tame. And then Tosfos goes on to deal with various other angles in it as well. One point is, once we have this Gzeira Shava, then why do we need Rebbe's Gzeira Shava from before, from the word Behema in the first place? And one thing is, Tosfos points out, now you have like this, you have in this week's parasha, actually, the Gemara itself is going to talk about in a minute. You have Nivlas Oif Torah. You have the case in our parasha. The pasuk says, the person eats Nivelo Trefa. Then he's Tomei, and Rashi explains on the pasuk based on various Gemaras that it refers to Nivlas Oif Torah. If a person swallows a Kazayas, a dead kosher bird, then the moment he swallows it, he becomes Tomei. So therefore we need to include that kind of tumma as well. It's a unique kind of tumma. Usually a person only becomes tummy from touching something with the outside of his body, or in the case of a mess, by being in an oil mess. This is the only case where a person swallows something and becomes tummy daraisa.
Only by Beis Avliya,
only the moment he's swallowing it. Midrabanan, a person eats tomei food, then he's tomei until he goes to the mikveh, but he doesn't need head of shemesh. But that's one of the gzeiros of Yud Chas Dover. But Daraisa, they're the only case where a person becomes tomei by swallowing something that is new lasef tahor. Anyway, so Tosfos says you would need it for that as well. But okay. So fine, the Gemara says the ela ba lomali. Well, then now that we know that, then why do we need the miut from the word ba? Before we were saying that we're using it to be mamayat truma, but now that we're saying, why would we think that truma should be included? Again, everything else that we've discussed so far, tumas mikdash and tumas kadshav, is both kares. So why would we think to include truma such that the pasuk would need a miut to tell us that not? And the answer is l'rabis nivlas oif tahar. On the contrary, the word ba is coming to include this case where a person swallowed a nivlas oif tahar and becomes tamei during the moment that he swallows it. So now, the same thing, if he became tamei with that kind of thing and entered the Mishnah, he's still going to be chayev kodesh v'mezid or achatas v'shoigin, a korban or the v'yodid v'shoigin. Well, the Gemara says, what do you mean you've been using it for a ribui? Ha'amad ba miyotahu, didn't we say before that the word ba is meant as a mute?
Take away.
Yeah, to take away something. And the answer is, Nishum Dumi Utahu Iyatr, because this mute is really extra. Ksiv Oiki Yiga, because the pasuk starts by saying, or if he touches, so first it's talking about where he touched a Nivlas Behema Tmei or Chaya Tmei or what have you, then it continues, or if he touches Chuma of a person, Debaun Nagia Ein, the Labaun Nagia Loi, so it would apply only to the kind of Chuma that becomes Tomei by touching. But not something where now a nivlas oif tahor, the person touches a nivlas oif tahor, nothing happens. The only way a person can become tamei by a nivlas oif tahor is by swallowing it. So you would think, since the pasuk is saying oki yiga de bar negia ein the la bar negia loy, maybe the Torah is telling you that a person is chay of a korban only when he became tamei by a type of tumah where if a person touches it, he will become tamei. And not the kind where there's no tumma of touching it. Therefore, ksiv bot miyuta. Then we also have the word bot, which is a miut. So therefore, have a miut after a miut. So therefore, you have a miut after a miut. One to exclude nivlas oif tahor, because not doesn't become tum. It doesn't. It's not matame by touching it. And another one, the word ba, which would also be to be mamayit. So it's a miut achamiut, vein miut achamiut, al rabbis, and the miut achamiut comes to include something. So therefore, after all, it does include the nivlas oif tahor. So now we've worked everything out. The fact that Bechlal, the Psukim are talking about Tumas Mikdash Vekodshav, that we have Rebbe's Gzeirah Shava from the word Behema, from the fact that it says Behema here, and it says Behema in connection with Tumas Kodesh. So therefore that teaches us that what happened was the person was Tomei, and when it says Vinei Lamimenu, he forgot it, and now he's guilty. What is he guilty of during that time he ate Kodesh? The mikdash in the end was saying we're learning from a different gzeira shava.
Walking basically by eating it.
Right. First, we're talking about eating kodshim. Person became tomei, knew that he was tomei, forgot that he was tomei, ate kodshim, remembered again. Then he's bringing a korban olavi.
That should be a korban shlomim.
Shlomim or any other. Ultimately, we're saying it means any kodshim is be'ah. Any korbanos. Any korbanos. We said that we're excluding kodshim bedik abayis. So for example. So kodshavetic bias is, for example, let's say a person might be menad of an animal that has a moon. So it can't be brought to the korban. So instead, it's kodshavetic bias. It belongs to the treasury of the Beis Mikdash. They can do whatever they want with it. They could find it. It's useful for work, for example. They could be using it for work for the Beis Mikdash. Or they could sell it and use the money for the upkeep of the Beis Mikdash. That kind of thing. We're saying if a person were to shech that animal, for example, and eat it while he was tummy, or to begin with, I mean, a person could also even not have something that was food to begin with. A person could order a pizza pie and go and donate it to the treasury of the Beis Mikdash, and the treasurers will deal with selling it to somebody else who needs a pizza, and they'll use the money for the Beis Mikdash. So now, if a person were to eat that pizza when he's tummy, he wouldn't be chayv kardis for it, because that's kodshim bedek abayis, that's a kodshim mizbeach. Now what we're saying is, though, if he eats kodshim while he's tummy, that he's chayiv kores, we have psukim say so explicitly. Now the gzeira shava tells us that this, for the same reason he would bring a korban olav yodid if there was the shregig. As far as Mikdash, in the end, after we worked out everything, we said that we're learning from Gzeira Shavah of the word Tumasai, that it means that when he goes into the Bais Mikdash, when he's Tamei, then he's Chayav Karis, and then we're saying that he's Chayav Karis B'mezid, and therefore that B'shoigig is bringing the Korban out of Yerid, and we're saying that it includes not only the kinds of Tumas that are listed in the Pasuk there in Parshas Vayikra, which would include only Tumas that a person can touch and become Tamei, but also the Nivasayif Tahar, even though the person doesn't become Tamei by touching it, only by swallowing it, nevertheless, it's still the same kind of thing. Okay. Fine. Now let's start working out. The Mishnah had said, Yesh v'yediyah b'tchilah, v'ein v'yediyah b'soif, sora nasa b'chnei m'chola. So we said, so like this, if the person knew at the beginning and forgot in the middle and remembered afterwards, then he's chayav the korban olav yodet, that we worked out. A few blocks ago, we had Rebbe's and Rebbe Akiva's droshes from the words v'ne'olam and yoda and all that, that it meant that it has to be like that. But then we said in the Mishnah, now you have like this. There can be the case where the person had Yediyah B'Tchilah and not Yediyah B'Sof. So he knew that he was Tomei, and then he forgot to enter the Bais Mikdash, and he didn't realize, or ate Kodshim, and he doesn't realize afterwards that he had done anything wrong. It never occurs to him that, you know what, I went into the Bais Mikdash when I was Tomei. So now what happens as far as his Korban? So the Mishnah had said, the Sur Hanasa B'Fnim, the Sur Lashem, where the blood is brought inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichel and sprinkled over there. So that, and Yom Kippur as a whole, suspends his punishment, we said, until eventually, if he ever finds out that he did in fact do wrong, then he's going to bring his own Korban Olav Yerded. We said, and we learned in the Mishnah, it's similar in that vein to an Oshem Tolui. Similar to an Oshem Tolui, for example. A person doesn't know in certain circumstances, whether he did something that would make him chayev kores, or make him chayev chatos, b'shoigig, and he doesn't know, so he brings an oshem tolui, and that holds back his punishment, and if he ever finds out that he actually did eat the chaylev, or do whatever, then he's bringing a korban chatos. So similarly over here. So the Gemara says, turn on our bottom, we learn in a braisa, how do we know that the sur hanasa b'fnim works for that? So like this, the Pasuk says, V'chiper ala kodesh v'tumas b'nei Yisrael b'gayman. The Pasuk says, in this week's parasha, that Aaron should, and then the Kohenim, go them after him, should accomplish the kapara, should atone for the kodesh, mitumas b'nei Yisrael b'gayman, from the tumas of the Jewish people. And that's referring specifically to the sur hanasa b'fnim. The Pasuk is talking about over there, about he's taking the blood of the sur, and sprinkling it, and then sprinkling it in the kodesh HaKadosh. So, yeshli v'inyin hazeh l'havi shalosh tumos. Now, since the Pasuk is saying tumos, so on the face of it, there could be any of three different averas which are referred to with the word tumah, and which we could say the sur hanasa b'fnim is mechaper for. Tumos avad zara, b'tumos gili arayas, b'tumos shvichas damin. So all three of those things, we do find psukim that refer to them as tumah. So again, now Tosfos points out there are other cases also that mentions Tumah. We're saying these which are very, very stringent, and we'd have reason to say that maybe the Torah is being marred by them. Maybe we're saying that the Sur and Nasa B'Fnim is Mechafer for all three of those as well. Maybe indeed it would include other ones as well. Tosfos says also the fact is these are not actual Tumah. A person, for example, does Avodah Zarah, Midaraisa is not at all Tomei. Midarabanan is a concept. A person touches Avodah Zarah, he becomes Tomei. It's considered an Av Tumah. But that's not Midaraisa. But nevertheless, we're saying it's used, the word Tumah is used for it metaphorically to say, in other words, the person has become, has made themselves disgusting in front of Hashem, maybe therefore Mitumas B'nei Yisrael would include that. So anyway, the idea is, maybe the Gemara is saying, maybe it would include Tumas Mikdash Kodshim, but as well as it would include these things as well. So where do we see by each one of them where it says Tumah? By Avodah Zarah who Omer Laman Tameis Mikdashi. Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk uses the expression also in this week's parasha in Parshas Kedoshim. Laman talks about where a person worships Moloch, and it says that he's making my Mikdash Tameh by doing that.
He
didn't do it in the Bais Mikdash. Right. But in other words, he means that Rashi explains what that means, that he's Metameh the Jewish people who are Kodesh to Hashem. Mind you, in Sanhedrin, we learned there are opinions that Moloch is not strictly a type of Avodah Zarah, it's a Goyish ritual, but whatever, the Gemara over here is following the possibility that it's actual Avodah Zarah. Anyway, the Gilei Arayis who Omer, Gilei Arayis who also have in our parsha, Ushma at the end of Achrimos, Ushmartim as Ushmarti, you should guard my guarding of Arayis, Levilti Asos Mechukas at Avis Vigimer, don't do any of these disgusting things that the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael and in Mitzrayim and Erev did, Veloisi Tamu Rahem, and you should not become Tomei with them. So again, we don't mean the kind of Tumah as in the kind where a person has to go to the Mitzvah. We mean the kind of Tumah where, I mean, in practice, yes, we mean a Ruchniistic Tumah, yeah. B'shvichus damim oimer v'leisa tamei asaretz. And b'shvichus damim, the pasuk says, don't make the land tamei. So now, given that, yochalog gimel tumas halala yehisori mechaper. So you would think that. So you would think, therefore, that when the pasuk is saying by the sur of Yom Kippur, the sur hanasu b'fnim, the sur l'Hashem, that it's accomplishing kapara mitumas b'nei Yisrael, maybe it means these three things. No, because the Torah says from the tumas, so that's a miut, so it means only some of the tumas and not all of them. So now we have to figure out logically which ones are going to be included. So mamatzinu shechilak akosta miklal kol tumas. What do we find that? Where do we find something that involves tumah and the Torah distinguishes between it and any other kind of tumas? Hevi em is a tumas mitzvah for kodshav. That would be tumas mitzvah for kodshav. So what does that mean? Where do we see that there is that distinction that the Gemara is going to deal with later? Where we see that Tumas Mekdash Kodshav is unique among other kinds of cases of Tumah. Tumas Mekdash Kodshav. So the same way over here, when the Torah is saying Mi Tumos, then it has to mean the kind of Tumah which is found someplace else where there's something unique about it, and therefore that would be Tumas Mekdash Kodshav. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. That is how we learn that the Sur Lashem is Mechaper only for Tumas Mekdash Kodshav. Reb Shimon says you have a different way of learning that. You don't need a binyan ab. You don't need a mamatzinu, also known as a binyan ab, as Rabbi Yehuda is doing. You can see it from the very pasuk itself where it says mitumas b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk says the chibra la kodesh mitumas. The pasuk says you should make kapara on the kodesh from the tumas. So therefore we understand it means mitumas shal kodesh. So therefore it means the tumas of the kodesh is what this korban is machapa for. So you have Rabbi Yehuda's binyanab, or Rabbi Shimon's word, or Rabbi Shimon's phrasing of the pasuk mitumas ala kodesh mitumas teaches us that it's mechaper on tumas mikdash v'kodesh. Now yochal al kol tumas from a mikdash. Yochal al kol tumas from a kodesh yehi sur is a mechaper. So maybe in that case this korban is mechaper for all kinds of cases of tumah of a kodesh, whether there was yediyah or whether not. Maybe we would say, in other words, even where there was yediyah b'tchilah yediyah b'sof for helam in time, or yediyah the whole time or whatever, maybe this korban is mechaper for it. Because the pasuk continues for the pshoyim and for all their chatois. The word pesha means something where a person does rebelliously against Hashem. And chatoisam means something that a person did b'shoyim. So what is this? What is this korban machaper for? So chatoyim dumya de pshoyim. It has to be that the chatoyim are similar to the pshoyim. Pshoyim are not subject to a korban. In the word pesha means where you did b'mezid. In general, there's no korban when a person does something b'mezid, but a few rare exceptions that have nothing to do with tumas mekdash v'kodshav. In general, there's no korban for a person does something b'mezid. You have certain exceptions we're going to talk about later in the Masechta about Shavuos to Eidos. You have a Sham Shivcha Harufa. There's a couple of cases where a person brings a korban for doing something b'mezid, but ordinarily not.
Yes, Kodesh.
Usually, yeah, there would be chorus, Mrs. Basedin, some other kind of punishment, whatever, yeah. So, ma pshoyim she'enim b'nei korban. So, just like pshoyim are something where there's no korban, af chatoyim she'enim b'nei korban. The same way the chatoyim have to be something where there's no korban. So now, where there's yediyah b'soif, where there's yediyah b'tchilo b'soif, behelam in time, that's where the Torah tells us, as we worked out before in Parshas Vayikra, that he has to bring the korban over the yored. So therefore, so necessarily, that has to be excluded. Because we're saying, because the chatoyim and the pshoyim have to be similar. So in other words, the point is, the Torah is telling us, you have a chet, something that a person did inadvertently. It's like a pesha in the sense that there's no personal korban to be brought for it. So therefore, this korban will take care of it. But now, where it's the kind of chet where he himself is bringing a korban for tumas mikdash kodeshim, namely where there was yediyah b'tchilah, yediyah b'sof, for helam and time, then we know already from parshas Vayikra that he's bringing his own korban. Therefore, that's not being included over here because that's not chatosam similar to pshoyim because there is an actual korban that's prescribed for it. So how do we know then that this korban is suspending his punishment where there was yediyah b'tchila but not the soif, as the Mishnah had said? Because when the Torah says v'chol chatoisam implies somebody who would have been chay v'chatos. Now let's consider where there's no yediyah b'tchila, it's impossible that he's ever going to bring a korban because he can't turn the clock back. He can't now do something to know beforehand that he was tamei before he ever entered the Beis Hamikdash or ate these kodshim. But when there was yediyah b'tchila, all that's missing is the yediyah b'sof. He doesn't know now. He doesn't realize that. Wait, when I went into the Beis Hamikdash a few days ago, I was tamei. So eventually he may realize it. So eventually he may come to a chiyuv chatos. Right now he's not at that point yet. So we're saying that the sora will help for him. So chayov chatoris b'mashma, it implies somebody who could potentially be chayav chatos, but right now he's not in a position yet to do that because he doesn't know that he had done wrong. But that's what we're saying. In other words, so far, what we have with from based on this braisa is as follows. If it was, first of all, we worked out that it means only tumas mikdash v'kodshav, either because as Rabbi Hoda says because of binyan av, or as Rabbi Shimon says because of the words ala kodesh mitumos, and then because the word mitumos itself is a miut. And then we're saying within Tumas Mikdash for Kodeshav itself, now you can have the case where he himself has to bring a korban that's also being excluded because then that's not pishayim l'chol chatoisam, that's not a chatas, which is similar to a pesha in not having a korban. On the other hand, since it says l'chol chatoisam, suggests that we're talking about somebody who eventually is going to be in a position to bring a chatas, and that can only be where there was yediyah b'tchila and not yediyah b'sof, because it was the other way around. If there was no yediyah b'tchila, then he's never going to be in a position to bring a korban. So thus far the Braisa, and then we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we're going to analyze this Braisa and see why indeed it doesn't mean that it can't mean Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos and Shefichas Damim, and why it can't mean different other kinds of Tumas Mikdash for Kodeshav and so forth. So we're going to work all that out in detail, how the Braisa is doing all these Lamudim. Eventually, it's going to lead us to back to what we said in the Mishnah, which is that the Surah Nasa B'Fnim is Mechaper, and is Mechaper, is Toila for that one case, where there was Yediyah B'Tchila, but not B'Soif. But now we have to work out the details based on analyzing this Braisa, how exactly we reach that point.